Hello and welcome to Troy and Tara Watch.
Yay!
So we watched quite a few things, but we're gonna just highlight two today.
Yeah, it's been a while since we recorded, yeah. So we're gonna try busy. And keep. Yeah, we're gonna keep. Try and keep it on track. I say it's like derail us.
Yes, but we apologize for the long delay, but I think it's going to be worth it because we have two really amazing things to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes. So as you can see from the title of the podcast episode, is going to be about Fallout.
Yes.
And Hazbin Hotel.
Yeah, Hazbin Hotel, which we watched so long ago, and yes. Then we're going to do a recording. I wasn't feeling well, so we're going to try and we're going to come back to it because it's great and everyone should watch it.
And
we need everyone to watch it. So yes. If you've missed it so far, this is your call to watch it because yeah. It's great.
Exactly. And we'll definitely go into the more details, but I think because it's still very fresh in our minds, we'll talk about Fallout.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic.
Happened.
Yes. Yes. Sorry for any of the maybe background noises. I'm
dogs
hopefully,
barking.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll be all good. But hey, why don't we go ahead and get into the description and how people can go ahead and watch this. Mm-hmm. Fallout is on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And
all the episodes
are officially out, came out on April 10th.
Yeah.
So not too long.
No. And it probably took us longer to watch it than
yeah.
Most people. People binge things and we just don't binge things anymore. We don't have time to binge things.
Yeah, and I was okay with it because it let us go at our own pace.
Yeah.
I think I was prepared to be more of a week to week based on how a lot of the outline was like previously on. Type of things, always recapping what just happened. So I, you know, as I got a feeling that it was going to be adaptable to anything. But besides the point, again, no derailment. This was a adaptation of the video game by Bethesda and Todd Howard, and it is something that I was always definitely looking forward to because I am a huge video gamer and I definitely love those video games as well too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely being handled in a way that was looking just as good as The Last of Us, where it's being taken seriously. Mm-hmm. It was involving the creator of the actual video game very heavily in the making process of, which I think was very important and pivotal. And this also allowed it time to have a lot of good storytelling, which is exactly what that game is a lot of RPG elements and storytelling.
Yeah, it's a long form game. Yeah. It's not a short game. There's a lot of story going on.
Exactly. If you're not familiar with the premise of Fallout, it is an alternate take on the United States history and really world.
Really, and like future, really.
Yeah. It kind of deviates right around, I think it was the time of the moon landing, I want to say. I might be wrong on this. But it's basically like, what if we couldn't come up with microchips and we did that kind of futuristic retro where it just had like a very...
I like
1950s.
The aesthetic was cool and that it was 50s, but it's also confusing because...
Yeah, it throws you off on the timeline.
It throws you off on the timeline because this is like, what is it,
2077.
2077.
Yeah. It is.
Like, it's really far into the... Oh, wasn't it 2177? No, 2077 is when they drop the bombs, and then this show takes place 2277, right?
Yes, and just like you had alluded to earlier, it is about the world ending in a nuclear apocalypse. And it is set in the future, but the aesthetic is the 1950s 50s, retro futuristic.
Which is cool, but like, still the 50s in the future.
Yeah, it's great.
But the aesthetic is really great, but the TVs are killing me.
It is definitely what
Troy, we're already derailing. Oh my god, we're so bad at not derailing.
I'm trying my best.
We're all trying good. To lead me and I'm a mess.
Yes, I noticed. But it's okay. That's why I love you. We definitely have... Or at least I have played these games, and Tara has passively observed me playing these games and knows a little bit about
I definitely need
the
to
world,
watch...
the lore. We went a little bit more deep into when we started watching the show.
I definitely needed a timeline video. We watched a video of a timeline. That was very helpful. If you've never played the games and also have no intention to, because you don't want them to be spoiled for you.
Yeah.
I have no intention of playing them. you need to tell me the things, because yeah. I don't know that.
There are definitely plenty of videos out now on YouTube that give you the full history of the Fallout timeline. Yeah. Some of them may contain spoilers, but a lot of it is all based off of the games and exactly what this show is as well, too. So, it is set in the future before, it is set after any of the games currently, is its own thing. Whatever has happened within the games, and this is its own thing, but uses all of its lore. So, I don't know, it's doing something, but it uses all of its lore, and as a video gamer, there's a lot to appreciate with this particular show, but mostly I think with the cast, which let's go ahead and just quickly cover the three main characters here.
Transition into the cast
is really a highlight of this show. The main protagonist is Ella Purnell, who plays Lucy McLean. Mm-hmm. There is Aaron Moten, who plays Maximus, who is a Brotherhood of Steel.
I don't know why I was blanking on that. I don't know what they're called.
And then, as we recently discovered, Walton Goggins is Cooper Howard, who plays the Ghoul as well. And that is the three main characters that you will come across. There are a lot of great supporting characters in here as well,
but
too.
But who only appear in like one or two episodes, like the beginning or the end or something. Yeah, those are the three... Yeah.
That'll be more kind of like went to our impressions and stuff like that. But as far as the recommendations, if you haven't have already told by our reaction to it, but also I think really just in general, it has gotten really, really good reviews across the board. Eight, nines, and tens, pretty much.
I haven't heard anything bad, but I also don't really look for that information. Mm-hmm. So it would really have to be in my face for me to notice if there was something bad.
Well, I mean, I'm at least very glad that it is not a, you know, it's okay, you know, it's cool, you know, it does some cool things, it, you know, it does whatever, and it's a little hard to find some of the flaws. It's really more nitpicky than anything else.
It is even for someone who didn't play the games, I really enjoyed the world, because I like world building. It's like my favorite part of stories, so the world building is very good, even from game to this, but also like they built it so in which like it's, the rules can be clear from the jump, and they explain it to you, but in a very seamless kind of way. Like everything, there's nothing seems forced, like it, everything just like this is clearly what we're doing, like stim packs and da da da, like so it's leading you.
It so does you have the very talented director Jonathan Nolan, who is really just very in tune with the source material, in talking with Todd Howard and doing interviews post release. It shows how much that even Todd Howard didn't, the creator of the game, didn't really want to do adaptations, and nothing really right came along. And it was after seeing a lot of Jonathan Nolan's work, highlight is Westworld on HBO, did a really great presentation of what he wanted to go ahead and do, and Todd Howard was like, yeah, I think that's going to be great. It's just like how it worked out with The Last of Us. Yeah. And
you take the material very seriously and treat it as it is.
Exactly. And I think this is probably one of the hardest things to adapt because of how many things it tries to balance of style.
Yeah.
Of aesthetic. Yeah, aesthetic. Of the quirkiness of the setting.
Yeah.
The balance between humor and drama and horror.
And very serious action. Like issues like a freaking nuclear apocalypse and... It was so stressful.
I mean, to be really just hopping from things that are terrifying you and and
terrible how, monster creatures.
Terrible monster creatures, existential crises, human suffering in different various different ways.
But like with the humor that is video game nature, to be silly and like this is, because it's a video game, we can do something completely out of control, like a monster with finger teeth. Like, it's so ridiculous, but also terrifying at the same time.
Exactly. And so this did an amazing job of balancing everything out. That's why it did the success that it has the success that it does, because it blends all that together, wrapping it in everything that's familiar and why the game was so good, and why people who even haven't played the game will be looking at this and then just being like, wow, this is a really weird, interesting world, and you know, people act differently, and like, it's funny because it's I think the most basic you can boil it down to is kind of like a fish out of water type of scenario.
Oh, that's definitely what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. But like, you know, noble intentions, I'm going to go ahead and try to be the best, but things are going to constantly beat you down and ask you to
compromise your morals.
And that was really hard.
Her faces are so good. Like, she just did she said so much with her face anytime anything happened. She's so good.
Yes.
I like Ella Purnell a lot. She was great also in Yellow Jackets, unrelated. She's great.
That I will definitely I want to talk a lot more about the acting power behind this and go into really to more spoiler type of area.
So I think this is the moment.
If you have not gone and seen it, please go watch it.
You should pause this and go watch this and come back to us.
Whether or not you
tell us you think we're right or not.
Whether or not you've played the game or not, I think it's still a great way to go and look at it. You can definitely look at YouTube videos to understand a little bit more of the lore, but really the show does tell you a lot of the events that happen.
Yeah, they do. You don't need a lot of background to watch it. It's like its own thing, and it does recap very quickly the timeline.
Exactly. So
brief and succinct, unlike us.
Never like us. So if you are now back you've probably watched it and or know all
good
of
job
this.
Yay!
Congratulations,
welcome back. I am so glad that you went and watched Fallout and are back now.
So amazing. So, let's get into a few things here. I know that with the, the acting obviously ties a lot of stuff together, and it was just really funny to see, almost like in how the games originally were, where you can build your character out to be, you know, a different way. So Lucy had a lot of agileness and problem solving.
Yeah, you're talking about like the stats of video game characters. So
exactly.
Like, didn't they come out with stats for each character?
And they did too.
Nice.
And so you can see a lot of the personalities and stats that almost go into a person. And as what I appreciated of this show was the attention to detail for the game, but also just in with video games in general, which was playing off of very video gamey tropes. And you see it in the very first episode with Lucy injecting herself with the stim pack and instantly being healed after being
stabbed in the stomach, like in the side. Yeah, she's just like, and I'm good to go now. Yeah. And they like heal a dog that you're like, so I'm so stressed about the dog for a whole episode. And then they just like, I'm just going to stim pack this dog. And then this dog goes from being fully like, I'm about to be dead to, and I'm up and I'm jumping and I'm good to go.
Exactly. And that was that was, I think, the very first hurdle that the viewers had to try and get over, is how video games are that same way, is that, there are magical potions that are just going to instantly heal you and make you keep on going on about your day.
And I'm good to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they hammered in pretty hard the first like two episodes to be like, this is the world, this is what we're doing, so that in the future when we're doing this, it's what we're doing.
And
we heal Lucy immediately, we heal dog immediately, we're good to go.
And it sets that precedent of what led up to the time that we're at now, type of thing. Just each episode has that sprinkling of here's something from the past that ties into what we're talking about now or where these people are out now in their lives.
Yeah.
So for Walter Goggins,
Walton Goggins, Troy. Oh my God. Learned that. I thought it was Walter this whole time and it's Walton, and oh my God, my mind was blown. Anyway.
So seeing his involvement with Vault-Tec, who are the, you know, creators of the vaults, and you see what his inspiration was, obviously from the TV show colors that were on his uniform to the thumbs up and why he was involved with it because of his wife.
Yeah.
And so learning more of the deeper history of what this was involving was very helpful for people who didn't even play the games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really building that out more with really the great cast that they had.
I'm like lost in a thought, but yeah, continue.
No, it's okay. Frances Turner played Barb Howard, who is
that's who I was thinking about that, and I was just thinking about, because we watched an interview with Walton Goggins. talking about that first scene, and so they showed some of it, and they talked about, like, oh, why is this famous movie star doing children's parties? Why else alimony? Yeah. So implying that they're divorced, and the whole show, you can spoil in spoiler territory, so that's what I'm doing now. We see how happy and in love they are. Mm-hmm. And I fully forgot about that alimony line in the beginning, because it's like literally one of the first lines of the entire show.
Yeah.
And I fully forgot about it. And you see just how happy they are the entire show, like fully in love, like so sweet, really having an argument, but like settling it really well. Like such a good happy couple, only for the bomb to drop at the end. Like, not the literal bomb, but like the her betrayal bomb.
Yeah. It was.
And then you see, and now you know why they're divorced.
Yeah, his daughter Tegan Meredith is the actress who played her.
So precious.
And yeah, it was even just those little details that you see in the beginning. You start trying to put in little pieces, but you start seeing the overall picture of it. I know that there was a lot of comparisons to Silo because of how the vaults are.
I haven't watched that, and I've heard it's good.
Good. And also, what was the other one?
Hello Tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah, Hello Tomorrow. But the, I think with the acting, they understood the assignment. Even if they hadn't played the games, even though Ella Purnell, Lucy, had played a little bit of the game. She's not very good at it, as she said in interviews.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
She's funny.
I heard in another interview she was saying that she had tried to just go online and thought you could just play it online. Oh. Didn't realize that you'd have to buy a system or have to purchase the actual game.
Oh, so she's not a video gamer at all. So, yeah. What's happening here. That's adorable.
Exactly. But the highlights, even to the third person we mentioned, Maximus, and
well, whose name I didn't know for most of it because they said it once at the beginning, and then he called himself Titus for three episodes. Yeah, so what's his name again? I don't remember.
Aaron Moten is the actor, and again, he did a very interesting job of being this very naive person who had ideals, and
but different ideal, like they all had ideals and they were all conflicting, but also like Maximus and Lucy's meshed really well. They're so cute. They were adorable,
and you saw a lot of his thinking start to change a little bit and trying to that touch of like childness that he had. It was especially when they're in the vault and they're talking about how you know, hey, should, you know, want to have sex, and it's like those random, you know, very random, like, out of the blue, what's that, I don't know. And and then talked about
we're not doing it.
So yeah, we won't replay it again, but that is just the kind of little touches that I liked about the show, that lets you know a little bit more of the inside of, like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, it's not a common knowledge thing that you would think.
Or if you weren't taught it, you don't know what it is.
You won't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so you see even the disappointment on the teammate's friend when he talks about his plan and how he's gonna, you know, go join up Lucy and be in a vault. And
she's just like, oh no.
Just like, oh, you poor bastard, you.
Oh, you sweet summer child. Like, oh, you sweet summer child only. Yeah. Yeah, not sweet summer child.
And so, the other show that I was going to mention, excuse me, was Severance.
Oh,
and
there's Severance. Yeah.
There's a lot of that mystery that slowly unravels because you think, like, oh, this is a very, how would you say, a very straightforward company, and they're trying to help out people, but really there's some seedy underness. And
I would
you
not
see
have
that...
said that this company was straightforward from the get-go in that show. It was very clearly seedy and weird.
But you see that in what they're trying to present, like, hey, safety, the end of the world might happen, we have these great vaults, and kind of like all of these things that were really what was being presented to the world
in
death. There's a lot of experimentations. What are those experimentations? How did they start? And all of the other things that really build out more than just it was a vault tech and they tried to help out people and it all worked. No, it's each vault was different and it had a own
weird
story
experience.
Experience, and those are a lot more explored in the video games, mm-hmm. but you can see even in near the end of the season where they have all of these vaults across the United States.
Yeah.
All the people who are involved with it, like major corporations, mm-hmm. and all of those types of storylines that happen within a dystopian type of future where
basically
it's like...
The company's capitalism futures, like, how are we going to keep ourselves going after we have blown ourselves up?
Exactly.
Because we are doing that. Because we're nightmare creatures.
Yeah, and that's the scary part of that show is them eventually saying, yeah, well, how are you going to make that happen?
Make sure that this happens. It's not a waste of our money. And the world, what if we get it together and the world doesn't blow up?
Yeah,
and we all waste our money on these vaults.
Yeah, that is...
Well, we'll make sure we do it.
Exactly. One of the good storyline threads that they're trying to play out into the next episode, next season, excuse me, and the whole storyline with Lucy's dad and his involvement with being outside of the vault beforehand and where it leads up into as far as a famous location,
mm-hmm.
New Vegas, and all of that teases. It's just... Oh, I'm
Luna.
So sorry. We
Luna.
Have a cat that's
mad Luna. About nothing. Luna.
Let's just scream. So, that I think really kind of wraps up a lot of what I felt like we needed to go ahead and mention. I know there's probably a few other things, but really it's the attention to detail that made all of this happen. Mm-hmm. The highlight that I know that I was always going to love and was really happy they did it all throughout was the old-timey music that happened in various certain parts.
The soundtrack is fabulous.
Yes, and if you do ever watch this show and then go back to the games, you start understanding a lot of the choices that they made as far as storytelling, and you catch a lot of the other things, such as, and these are a few of my favorite highlights, when Lucy tries to have a conversation for the first time and mm-hmm. is pointing a gun at the person and is expecting to have just a normal conversation.
Yeah, because that's a very video gamey thing, just to have normal conversations.
Normal conversations.
With people,
hi, hello.
Fully gun exposed, pointed out, and they're just like,
I'm not
going to
harm
fine.
You. Cool. Like, okay.
That was a good one. Ma'am, don't start climbing on the window, please.
Or the knights who have way over encumbered packs because they're trying to carry a whole bunch of crap.
Carrying too much stuff.
Yeah. Just, again, those little touches that made this so much better, set the world up for a little bit better understanding mm-hmm. to have it not be so, oh, this is very realistic. It's like, no, this is very fantastical.
I also love the traveling salesman guy mm-hmm. who was just like wherever he needed to be, wherever you needed a man to sell you a random product, there he was, there to sell you a random product, may or may not help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe it'll help you, but also a little bit evil.
unknown side effects.
Unknown side effect.
Yeah.
Now you're a ghoul. Surprise.
Yeah, That is another storyline that I'm hoping to see play out a little bit
Bo,
more.
Oh yeah, we got baby Bo.
With how Maximus's storylines ends, how he is now being praised as like this mech warrior god type person who took down you know, this whole organization. He's just like, I just got abandoned by the person that I was trying to go see. So I'm wondering to see how, especially because they're now in the area that has all of the power.
That's what she even said. Like, what's your organization going to do with literally unlimited power?
Yeah.
I don't expect it to be good.
No. But there's also, like, the questions that I think come up was, how has, since Muldaver was in the past along with Cooper, and she's not a ghoul, how has she been able to live as long?
Well, I think the cryogenics.
There are cryogenics. There's also, she's a scientist. So there's also ways to upload your brain into mechs, or as the game lines have explored, synths.
So you think she's a... Well, she can't be a synth, she died.
Synths can die, or clone.
It could be a clone.
Because there is a vault of the Garys.
The Gary clones, yeah.
See, so that's
There's so many options. How is she there? We're gonna find out.
So I think there's a wealth of...
And that means that his wife could still conceivably be around, and the daughter. Like, you can't just assume it because someone in the past...
Well, that's how it ended, too.
Where he's asking, like, where are they? Yeah, because I think he doesn't know. They might be a cryogenic. Maybe they didn't get cryogenic and they died, but he doesn't know, so he's trying to find them. Maybe he does know.
I wanted to get back to, like, the people that were releasing him were, like, talking about taking pieces off of him, which, you know, because of, like, some bad debt that he had. I don't know. I kind of have to go back into that beginning part.
Rewatching the beginning would be smart. Yeah,
that would be a good idea. But I think we've probably spent enough time talking about the show and how much you should go and watch it and all the things that we liked. And we had meant to talk about this when it originally came out back in February. And it feels like forever ago. But this show called Has Been Hotel is on Amazon Prime as well, so you can go ahead and stream both of these, as they're all out. And excuse me here just a moment. Okay, cat being craziness. But Has Been Hotel is, as far as the best premises I could make, is a animated TV show that the premise is that Lucifer's daughter has opened up a hotel in hell rehabilitate sinners to have them get up to heaven, as heaven comes down once a year to exterminate people in mass.
Because of overpopulation in hell. Because everyone's evil and terrible.
Exactly.
So hell's overpopulated, so she doesn't want her people to be murdered anymore, so she wants to save them so they go to heaven and don't get murdered anymore.
Exactly. Sounds really nice and sweet. This is a adult show, though.
Yes, it's not for children. It takes place in hell, and hell is where all the bad people are, so there's bad people doing bad stuff all the time.
And I think that makes it work a lot in its favor as well, too. The animation style is very I would say kind of Disney-esque, very big eyes and kind of accentuated shapes and
that's all animation
and all
Troy.
Things well all animation, but I'm just saying in this style it is a lot Disney-esque. Of blacks, reds, pinks, whites. You see a lot of that contrast and not much other colors. There are just
bright,
a few,
different darks and gray, different shades of all of those colors.
And this show was recommended to us by our friend Jack, who is a big fan of musicals, and obviously has, as a stage manager, worked a lot and knows very well
Because this is very, this is very like stage musical-esque too. The vibe of this is, Yeah, because we have not to mention it is a musical.
Because it is a musical.
And it's got, like...
lending more to the Disney vibe.
Yeah.
As well, too.
Well, you first described it, and I thought you were going to do it this time and didn't. But it was a, like, Disney... like, if Disney decided to do an R-rated movie on Christian mythology.
Exactly. R-rated TV show
on
Christian mythology.
Yeah. That's literally what this is. And it, I like... oh, my God, the car.
Okay. Hang on 1 second.
Stop. Where is the spray bottle?
I don't know.
I will spray you.
Oh, this cat's going to be the death of us. I swear. Mm-hmm. So, with Hazbin Hotel, I think we've given it kind of like a really good... description, I guess you could say.
Yeah, go over the cat, which is more. Mm-hmm. There's more main cast than the three main there cast of the last one.
But very briefly, as far as just the quick history, there was a YouTube video that was the pilot of this show.
Oh, yeah.
That
came
was
in 2019.
Yes, 2019. And that is on YouTube, and it mm-hmm. does go by the same name, Hazbin Hotel.
Yeah.
It's pilot. Which does give a quick baseline premise of what's going on.
Yeah.
But the show does also do that as well, too. But it is just a slight continuation of that pilot.
So the pilot is definitely still, like, in-universe. They didn't, like, negate it in the Amazon show. They just, like, basically came in a day later and were like... but, like, starting afresh, but a day later.
Yeah.
So, it references a couple things from the pilot that you don't need to have seen. I didn't see it first. We saw it after. But it will add more to it. But things are different. The voice actors are different because it's years later and not Amazon.
It was basically as the, like, hey, we're going to go and try and sell this. Whoever wants to pick it up.
Yeah.
And as it did get picked up, it got more and more steam, but different animation studio. I swear. Animation studio called Bento Box. And
nice.
The series director is Vivian Medrano, and the main voice cast is a lot of talented singers and Broadway actors, and so that's why a lot of the music is done just
it's really,
very well.
Really Broadway level quality music. It's really good. I like it a lot. This cat is going to be the death of me. She's over there being shady.
So,
casting a menace, y'all.
Yeah, we'll have to wrap it up here soon. But we have the main cast, which is Erica Henningsen, Stephanie Beatrice, and I'm sorry, Erica Ennings plays Charlie Morningstar, who
is
the
daughter. Lucifer's daughter, the main girl.
Stephanie Beatrice plays Vaggie, who is her girlfriend, essentially, and tries to help organize everything.
Yeah, she's a lovely, loyal girlfriend.
Blake Roman is Angel Dust, and is another great voice talent in that. Keith David plays Husk. Kamiko Glenn plays Nifty. Alex Brightman plays Sir Pretentious. And I think one of our very big highlights was Amir Attali as Alistair.
Alistair is my favorite, by far, without question.
By far, without question. And I think with, honestly, all of the voice actors that were in this did such an amazing job, and I think everyone had really good songs to go ahead and highlight their character and give them a little bit more background.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it was very well written. You get all this good background, all this but just like seamlessly involved in it. It's just so good. The songs are so good. I can't even talk about it. It's so good.
Well, just like with Fallout, where it's like a balance of humor and comedy, but also very serious storytelling, like some drama, just a little bit. This one's not as heavy.
But there's some episodes, like episode 4 specifically.
Exactly. And having it all be adult themed in hell and have it be musical and be up and cheery as well too, but you have just so many great moments and such a rewatchability of this show that it was hard not to recommend to anyone, really. It was just the hey, do you have like an afternoon to kill, maybe?
Because it's 8 episodes and they're 30 minutes each, so you can definitely watch it in one like movie length sitting.
Yeah, it's about 4 hours.
Yeah, total. Well, it's a long movie, but still. and then
can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. Just like spoiler warning for episode 4. There's a like a early, yeah, there's not a content warning, not a spoiler warning.
Content warning
for episode 4. Just if it's going to be a problem, there's like some relationship abuse. Mm-hmm. It's pretty quick and skippable if necessary. Like that specific scene is not required.
Yeah.
Like for plot purposes at all. So you can skip 15, 20 seconds of the show, 30 seconds, and you have missed it. And then everything else is fine. And they warn you at the beginning of the episode also. So.
Oh, yes.
Like, that, it's warnable.
Very easily.
And the rest of the show is not that. And it's just very good.
And just like with Fallout, it is one of those shows that has been getting a lot of praise and great reviews on anyone who's seen it. It's just a balance of all of the things. That's the Christian mythology that has its little tie-ins into adult-themed cartoon, but has a strong moral messages and things like that. The great singing, which we have definitely listened to the soundtrack on this multiple times.
And there's also extra songs because after the pilot aired, they made like two music videos, one of which I just accidentally stumbled upon in like 2019 or 2020, and just randomly like one dance video on TikTok. It's the only time I ever saw it on the internet, and I just like tracked it down and was one of my like repeat listen songs for like a while. And I had no idea it was from the show. And so we started watching the show and I was like, why is this Alistair, that's the name in the song I like. What is happening?
And all the same
vibes. Yeah. I was like, this is literally has to be this character. And I looked up and I was like, blew my entire mind that this is the same. From the same universe and was in fact my favorite character from the show. I was so stoked about it.
Yeah, this is one of those shows that made us really want to just do a deep dive into
It's been a while since we've deep dived into a show.
Yeah, exactly.
But we still haven't watched Hell of a Boss, which I think is a mistake on our part.
22 episodes. Yeah, and it fleshes out a lot of the lore of this world as well,
because they have
too.
Another show that's Hell of a Boss and all of it's on YouTube. And watchable, but we have yet to watch it, which I think. But does that make us bad fans? I feel like it makes us bad fans.
I want to say that with this particular show, I was really, really taken aback at how much it like got its claws into me.
That doesn't normally happen to you like it does to me.
Yeah, where it was just like, oh, I really want to rewatch this again. I like the all little very nuanced animations, especially once you've watched it one way through. You can pick up on the little tiny details that really made this show a repeat watch rather than just a one and done type of
There's
thing.
A lot of little things that you wouldn't think to catch. And then on rewatch, you get now.
Exactly.
And there's outside things that you can read, like you can read about what happened to Alistair. Mm-hmm. And so that you know that is what's going on here.
Yeah.
And his little horns, his little deer horns. Yes. He's so cute. I love him so much.
And the...
He's so evil and I love him so much. He's so bad.
What made Alistair in this show just, I think, the highlight for us was a few things. One is the way that he talks.
Oh, his old-timey radio accent.
Old-timey radio
accent.
I love an
old-timey radio accent.
On top of the staticky that it comes into.
Yeah, that's the old-timey radio.
Well, also, but like how he sounds.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Like,
it's
you
coming
have the,
through a radio.
Coming like, through a radio, but like his accent.
Yeah, that's the mid-Atlantic accent.
Yeah, mid-Atlantic accent.
It literally sounds like he is being transmitted over an old-timey radio.
Yeah.
With a mid-Atlantic accent, and I love him.
And also just the wittiness that he has about him, and not really
not really
caving to anyone else. You can tell you can tell he is his own boss, but really by the end you find out he's not. He is just like a lot of people that he controls. He is under someone else's control, and that's for you to really
I can't wait for
find
season
out.
Two.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Season
so
two
excited.
is going to be a top of our wish list.
Didn't it already got renewed, right? It got renewed right away.
Yeah, I think it's most definitely renewed. How popular it was, I think it'd be a mistake not to.
Yeah, we still have a couple friends who haven't seen it, so I'm going to try and do a watch party for that.
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Like we do over the Garden Wall, but
yeah,
for Has Been Hotel.
That would be perfect, yeah. Could do that.
Yes.
But yes, this is a show that I know we've kind of touched on a few things that go on throughout the show, but really it is a repeatable show, so I don't feel like even if I am saying one thing, watch it again. Watch it a few times. Like, I'm not going into the major, like, the major things that you find out, like, later on.
Yeah.
But I think it is something where you can rewatch it. You can see a little bit of the details in each one, just like how Alistair and Vox have a very clear rivalry against each other.
That's, like, immediate. Like, and their song is so good.
Their song against each other is so good.
Their songs are so good.
I think.
I can't even talk about how good they are.
My highlight song was definitely the Alistair and Lucifer battle. Was probably the highlight of that the entire series, and can't wait to see more interactions in the future.
Mostly because My favorite thing about Alistair is this, and this is my friend gave this description, and they were 100% right, which is, like, Lucifer comes in just to, like, see his what his daughter's up to, and then Alistair comes in and is like, oh, hi, hello, I'm here to fuck up your day. There's no reason for me to fuck up your day like this, but I'm definitely going to do it, and it's gonna be hilarious, and it is. Oh, you're singing a song? It's my song now.
It's not like he's cowering in fear of Lucifer or anything else like that. He's just like, oh yeah, no. I don't like you. I'm just gonna fuck around with you now.
I'm here to fuck up your shit.
Just make you feel like a horrible father.
Hi, Lucifer. I'm here to fuck up your day.
Yeah, make you feel like all crap. And so yeah, there is so many funny... Really, there is so much humor into this show as well, too, that makes it really great upon second watches and checking all the sass, all the sassiness.
And all the quick things that you might miss the first time, because there's just, like, a lot of sentences.
I mean, especially with this, how a lot of the songs are very quickly animated, and when they are singing about things, you will notice a lot of details. And honestly, you can go on to a lot of deep dives and YouTube that are pointing out a lot of great details.
Just like Fallout, like this detail, this detail, this detail, this detail. Both of them have those videos, so you can easily find everything if you aren't able to catch it, because there's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot. Stuff that I didn't even catch after, like, the third watch through, where you're like, did you notice that in hell, when you look up, you don't see Earth, you just see a pentagram, but on heaven you see Earth.
Exactly, because he's only seeing the bad in the humankind.
Yeah, he cannot see the good. It's just so good.
It's
just little tiny details, just little things that they don't mention. They're not saying it, it's just there.
There is just, I think I want to see more things try and adapt, like, really. Like, Christian mythology, I know, has been touched on a few times, but I really liked this dynamic that they were doing, where it's, like, the actual relationship between heaven and hell, and it was a reverse, where it's more like hell is trying to be good in certain ways, and there are good people there. That's the whole premise, is a bad person can change to become good.
Yeah, can become good
and then learn from their mistakes.
It's just, like, a whole thing, so we don't want to go too much into, like, the heaven stuff yet.
Exactly.
But it's just fabulous.
Once you get that, like, first glimpse of heaven in the show, you start realizing just the weird dynamic that this show created between the two.
Yeah. And they do have a specific type of dynamic.
Oh, yeah. It's a very...
it's just very good. I like it a lot.
It is.
And I just like the whole thought of, like, treating Christian mythology like what it is, which is mythology. Mm-hmm. So you can... Like, you put Thor in the fucking...
MCU,
like, because it's mythology. Like, Christian stuff is mythology too. It's all mythology. And, like, I like mythology. I'm not saying that's bad. I study Celtic mythology all the time. I love mythology. So I like to see this treated like mythology and, like, see the fun stuff you could do with it. Because it's just stories and they're fun.
Well, I think the first thing that caught our attention was the design of angels, where they are a bunch of eyes.
And which
the
is just
iconography,
like,
of eyes.
So much eyes. Oh, yeah. One of them is literally just the spinning discs of eyes. One of the main ones, when she gets, like, her emotions are on high, her eyes just, like, on her wings and everywhere, just, like, there were no eyes, and now there's eyes.
Yeah.
It's so good. The so many eyes. Be not afraid, I am only eyes.
I am only eyes, just watching every single thing that you do. Yeah, it was the tiny details.
It's just like the Fallout games, the tiny details in the Fallout games, the tiny details of the mythology that are just unspoken. They're just there. Mm-hmm. The eyes.
The eyes.
So many eyes.
Especially how they end this season with the big reveal.
Oh, yeah.
And where that's going to lead into the next one. Like, when we went back and watched the beginning part of it, and they talk about, Lilith, and how when they were banished, she would be this amazing singer that created the music of everything. So we haven't seen her sing, and it would be just so amazing. How's it going to sound like?
Who's she going to be? And who's going to be the voice of Lilith?
What also made a lot of this show work was the different music genres that they played into each one. Mm-hmm. Like, one was like a salsa dance type of song. One was ballads, clearly an upbeat Broadway, like, you know, that was the Happy Day in Hell.
Yeah, the intro.
Exactly. There's the rap battle that happens between Lucifer and Alistair.
Yeah.
And the very Disney-esque one of her trying to recruit the cannibals.
And it being
very inspired by Mary Poppins and type of thing.
So good.
The electro swing that kind of like is almost like a little bit of an undertone on some of the other songs as well too. It's just does so well of mixing a lot of songs up, and some of them hit more than others, and it's just whatever one kind of just speaks to you, and I think that there's just the right amount of balance between all of that, and the like each episode has about two songs, so it's not like from beginning to end everything's a musical.
No, it's not Hamilton.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. People are, you know, having interactions and talking in between.
It's a regular musical, not an opera musical.
Exactly. So that is
a good sum up. Everyone should watch Hazen Hotel. We gotta round up my friends who haven't seen it and make them watch it with us.
I think it's one of those shows where you just kind of easily recommend it to anyone and give any warnings that you need to, but it is a show that I think most anybody could watch except for maybe small children.
Oh yeah, don't let anyone under the age of 16 watch this. Yeah,
don't watch that. But on that note, I think that brings us to the end. Hey, we did it.
Yay, we made it. It's probably longer than we wanted it to.
No, that's okay. It's about right around the time that I wanted to.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so. Yay.
Huzzah.
My meanders worked.
So thank you for joining us on this long rant about two things that we really enjoyed, and hope that you enjoyed them as well too, and enjoyed us talking about it, and enjoy it so much that you want to come and listen to all the other stuff.
Your shirt.
Oh yes, my shirt. I'm sorry. Just as a quick highlight of how much I do like Fallout, I have not only a coaster of the Fallout Boy giving thumbs up sign, but I have a shirt that I wore on my wedding day underneath my nice wedding shirt. That wasn't visible to you until our wedding pictures.
Yeah, when and then you got very upset. You could see the Fallout Boy, like, thumbs up, man, through your linen wedding shirt.
Yep.
And he's definitely in the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. He's giving me a thumbs up the whole way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Dink. So you fall out in our wedding.
Yeah.
On accident.
Yeah, now every time I wear that shirt, it feels very special to me. Because I wore it as my wedding undershirt.
I'm really glad that you feel special wearing that shirt.
Yeah. I don't know how we missed that small detail.
Because it really wasn't visible in person. Like, it really wasn't. I would have noticed that. I would have noticed. If you were wearing, if I could see it under your, like, blue shirt, I would have noticed and made you change it or turn it inside out.
So great. See, it's a little detail.
So only it's like in the, like, flash thing. Pictures can you fucking see the Fallout Boy shirt.
But that's so great. It's so me.
It really is. So it's fine. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the little PS on that.
Yeah, yeah, because I know you wanted to talk to me about that, because it was important.
It's always very important. All right, well, thank you for listening to us. Please go listen to any of the previous episodes. They are amazing as well, too.
Yeah.
And we will hopefully be back on here sooner rather than later,
yeah.
As there are a lot of so many great
shows.
Things.
We're watching The Gentlemen. We gotta watch The New Crown. We got so many stuff to watch.
So many things.
Literally so many things that I keep not being able to keep track of them. It's unhinged.
And that's why we can't record, because we're just too busy watching all of the things.
Oh, my God.
All right. But thank you for listening, and bye.
Bye.